And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
How are you? Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank God. Baruch Hashem.
So, Parshat Ki Tetzeh.
Parshat Ki Tetzeh. You know, it's interesting that in this week's Torah portion, it talks about, it mentions 74 of the 613 commandments.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes through a whole bunch of commandments. And one of the commandments that it concludes with at the end of the Torah portion is the obligation to remember what Amalek did to you on the road and your way out of Egypt. That we have to constantly remember, you know, there are Amalek in this world that have a different agenda than we have, and we have to constantly just remember who we are and what we stand for. But also one of the interesting things that it talks about in this Star portion, which it says is that when you build a new house, you shall make a fence for your roof, that you shall not cause blood to be spilled in your house when he who falls shall fall from it. Very interesting. It's a very, very interesting mitzvah that it talks about in this week's Torah portion, which is the mitzvah of Ma'akeh, the commandment to build a fence around one's roof. Why? That someone shouldn't fall from it and hurt himself.
Yeah.
Now, in its broader application, this includes the prohibition to raise a dangerous dog, or keep a wobbly ladder in one's home, to own or more maintain in one's possession anything that can cause injury to a fellow person, which that is talked about more in the Talmud, in the Gemara of Bava Kamma. Now, the notion that what we choose and do, if you think about it, does make a difference. Why? Because it's hardwired in our Jewish soul. It's programmed into our spiritual, if you will, DNA. And the commentary notes that the curious terminology, because as we're just going to talk about it in a second, talked about by the Torah, said in the Torah, is very interesting, because the Torah says, when he who falls shall fall from it. Ki yifol anofel mimenu. And Rashi explains, the commentator on the Torah, even though this person deserves to fall anyway, this person might deserve to die, however, you should not be the cause of his injury.
Let him fall somewhere else. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Now, a guy who climbs up on my roof, for example, in the middle of a snowstorm, and decides to cartwheels on his icy ledge, he falls and he breaks his nose. So I could blame his stupidity. I could blame the weather. I could blame God. Because we all know that nothing happens unless God decides that it should happen. Instead, the Torah says, I should hold myself responsible. Now, given the type of person we're dealing with here, this was bound to happen anyway. He's a Mishrigan, he's a crazy man. But the very fact that it happened on my roof means that it is my responsibility. It means that I could have somehow prevented it. I could have put up a fence. Even if he was doing the cartwheel, he wouldn't have fallen. So, this is something which is always called Jewish guilt. Now, Jewish guilt has been in the Torah for a long time, and it entered into American literature probably about a half a century ago. And dozens of, you know, videos, movies, funny movies, try to show this idea of Jewish guilt. The Jewish father, who, for example, 6 years later, still blamed all his son's failings on the fact that he couldn't afford the bicycle his kid wanted for his seventh birthday in order to go to school, or because he was just mad. The Jewish mother, who convinced that her failure to impress the shul's president's wife, for example, marks her family as a social outcast for all generations. the Jewish rabbi who believes that all the world's troubles are caused by his own sin. If you think about it, that's a quite, you know, a self-centered, pessimistic view of the universe.
Yeah.
In truth, it is a very self-centered view. But in the most positive, people might think, you know, this might be, oh, the self-centered view is a terrible thing. But really, it's a self-centered view, but really I think more in a positive sense of the word. And rather than a dismal and pessimistic, it is probably the most encouraging and optimistic perspective of reality in the history of human thought. Okay, let's think about it. The notion that we, as creatures of choice, are responsible for all that occurs within our domain, in our houses, in our buildings, in our businesses, also implies that we do have control over what happens there, that our choices and actions do make a difference. The notion that even though my choice and action overlap only a minuscule area of another person's life, and even a smaller area of human history, what I choose and do will profoundly influence the fate of the guy dancing on my roof, the achievement of the community of which I am part of, and the course of humanity's progress through time. What I choose and do will even make the difference between death and life, between failure and success. So, the Lubavitcher Rebbe always used to say that if you see a fellow Jew traveling down a self-destructive path and you seek to set him straight but fail, the fault is yours. The reasoning behind this conclusion is both profound, why is it my fault? I try to help him. And is also simple. Because our sages have declared that words that come from the heart enter the heart. Dvarim sheyotzim min halev nichnasim al halev.
Yeah.
So if your words did not enter his heart, this can only mean that they were not spoken in complete sincerity. Had you been truly sincere, had you spoken with no objective in mind other than his good, then your words would have entered his heart and would have had a very, very big effect. Now, the guiding principle behind Judaism's perspective on this is, if God has placed me here, that means I can make a difference. The fact that I can make a difference means that it is my responsibility to do so. It also means that I have the power to do so. Because God does not place the responsibility on me without providing me
the tools to do it.
Exactly, with the ability to execute it successfully. Now, we're never going to be free of this quote-unquote Jewish guilt. But how will it blossom in our lives? Will it surface as a neurotic idea that gives us a pessimistic look on things, or as an empowering confidence in our ability to affect true change in our lives, the lives of our fellows, and the world as a whole? That is up to us. And the more we understand the dynamic of the sense of responsibility we carry in our neshamot, in our soul, where it comes from, and what its purpose is, then the better we will be able to actualize it to make it into a positive function. If someone comes and asks me for advice, if I see someone that is not going in the right way in our community, it's up to me. I can make that difference. And I can have an effect on that person. If providing that I have the other person, that he can gain from it. It's a good intention that the other person can gain. Not that I'm being self-centered and saying, well, yes, you know, if I help this person, later on, that person might come to me and really, really help me.
Yeah.
It's, we have to look at it as, I'm sorry?
Him. It's first of all helping him.
Correct. And that, sometimes it's good to have Jewish guilt. That, do it for the other person. Don't only do it for yourself. And the effect that you can have on someone else. And that is something that I, when I was reading this week's Torah portion, I thought there was something very, very interesting in how we can apply that to our lives, which is just so important.
It definitely is. And Shabbat services at Shari Tzedek.
Shabbat services is 7:15, Shabbat evening, Friday evening, and Shabbat morning is 9 a.m., as well as Sunday morning at the Shari Shmaim, 8:15, and followed by breakfast. And every morning, Monday and Thursday, at the Paris House, we have a minyan in the morning, which is open to the entire community. It's a community minyan.
So everybody is welcome.
That's right.
So, Rabbi, I wanted to wish you Shabbat Shalom. Maybe next week we will discuss Rosh Hashanah.
Absolutely.
That'll be great. So, Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom, and have a great week.
You too.